Good morning. We're glad you're with us again virtually. And we know that this is not the ideal situation or what we want, but it's great that we are alive in a day and age where we can do this. Imagine if we were trying to do this 100 or 150 years ago, what we could and couldn't do. So we're continuing this morning in our study of 1 Corinthians, and I just need to make a note, we won't have a closing song this morning, so I'll be closing in prayer and we'll be ending the live stream after that. But we're continuing our study in 1 Corinthians this morning, so I hope you have your copy of God's Word and find that book, and we'll actually be in the end of chapter 3 and finishing chapter 3 this morning. We weren't in 1 Corinthians last week in light of Easter, but 2 weeks ago we discussed verses 5 through 15, and we talked about how to get a good evaluation, and we recognized that the first and most important thing is to have the right foundation. And that if you have any other foundation than Jesus Christ, you're going to get an F on your evaluation. You are going to fail, and the consequences are disastrous and eternal. And we also recognize that when you pick your foundation, your foundation's quality, your foundation's strength and stability is going to be revealed by situations, challenges, trials, storms, hard times. This is going to demonstrate what your foundation is all about. And we asked ourselves, or I asked you rather, what is your foundation like right now? What is the current events and the situations you're going through, whether it's the virus or work or whatever it is, what is that revealing about your foundation? How is it holding up in the midst of everything? And then we said, no one wants just a foundation. The purpose of a foundation is to build. Everyone wants to build on their foundation, and we all build something. So the recognition of we're all going to build, we all have a foundation, but God is going to inspect what we build. He's going to evaluate it. And the evaluation isn't going to be how big it is, how great it is. It's going to be what is the quality of your work? How well are you building? What material are you using? What effort are you putting in? Are you just doing enough to get by, or are you doing your best? We talked about the fact that when we have all of this in place, we need to recognize and evaluate people correctly, view them correctly. Don't give them elevation. Don't give them credit where they don't deserve or don't want it. They are the ones pointing us to Jesus Christ, and that's who gets the recognition and the praise. And that's what it's going to come back up again this morning at the end of the chapter. Paul's going to go back to that and re-emphasize that. Lastly, if you want a good evaluation, if you want to do well, make it all about Jesus Christ. So how have you been building? The past 2 weeks, what have you been building? How have you been building? Have you put in your best work? Have you put just enough to get by? But how have you been building on the foundation of Jesus Christ? So this morning I'm going to do something different that I don't usually do. We usually have an introduction and then I read the text. But I'm going to read the text because if you've read ahead, you might be scratching your head or wondering what it's all about. So I'm going to read the text and then I'm going to have the introduction so hopefully you can grasp what Paul is talking about. So if you're not there, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ's and Christ is God. You might be thinking, what is Paul talking about? What does he mean? What am I supposed to do, most importantly, with these verses? How do I respond? So as I read those, as I read those verses and you're thinking that, I'm going to then read four statements as we begin this morning, and I believe that you've heard all of them, and I know that you've made at least one of them. So listen for what they have in common, not just the words, but the ideas and the intentions behind these statements. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's statement number one. Number two, I do solemnly swear that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter, so help me God. That's statement number two. Number three, I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that I will take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, so help me God. The last one, I take you to be my wedded spouse, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. Now, so we had the Pledge of Allegiance, we had a swearing in of military officers or military enlistees, a swearing in or an oath of citizenship, and then vows for marriage. I'm sure you could point to a lot of things that are common or have commonalities with these four statements, but there's one that I want to focus on this morning, and I think it talks about and references what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians, and that is one word, allegiance. Each one of these statements has to do with allegiance. Who or what is your allegiance to? What is allegiance? What do we mean when we talk about it or give it? The dictionary says allegiance is fidelity owed by a subject or citizen to a sovereign or government. Another definition is devotion or loyalty to a person, group, or cause. So if we look at 1 Corinthians 16 through 23, who or what do we owe allegiance to? Who should we give it to? The last verse tells us that. And you are Christ. You are Christ. New American Standard says you belong to Christ. We should give our allegiance to Jesus Christ. That is who we should give allegiance to. Well, Pastor Ryan, why? Why should we do this? Well, we've been working on memorizing these verses this year. But you are washed, but you are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. For you are bought at a price, therefore glorify God and in your spirit, which are God's. We're not going to work on quoting them together, but this is the truth. This is why we owe allegiance, or we should give allegiance to Jesus Christ. We should be fiercely and exclusively loyal to Jesus. He, no one, and nothing else should have our allegiance. Last week we learned that Easter changed everything. We had no hope. We had no hope but God gave us hope, he gave us grace, and he united us with Jesus Christ because of what went on at Easter. So the first thing I need to ask you is, do you belong to Jesus Christ? If you don't, here's what you need to do. Here's how you accept the free gift. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. When you do this, the debt we talked about last week at Easter, that is paid completely. The punishment you should have received is given to Jesus Christ. God's wrath is appeased all by and all because of Jesus Christ. And then John tells us in his first epistle, and this is the testimony that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This comes after, as a result of salvation, that we didn't even talk about on Easter, but it is part of the process. Have you done this? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Has he paid the debt for your sin? Do you know where you're going to spend eternity? Do you know what he's done for you? Do you even care what he's done for you? This is the most critical question you could answer in your life. It's definitely the most critical question I'm going to ask this morning. Because you cannot give your allegiance to Jesus Christ unless you belong to him. You cannot give him your allegiance unless you belong to him. Now, many of you watching are going to say, well, Pastor Ryan, I belong to Jesus. I've been saved. So this is the questions for you. What is your allegiance to Jesus like? How strong is it? How exclusive is it? How complete is your allegiance? Does it impact your life beyond watching or attending a service on Sunday mornings? Does it change how you speak to, speak about, and treat your spouse? Does it affect how you raise your children, how you parent? Does it impact what you do at work, how you do it, the effort you put in, how you treat and speak to your fellow employees, or speak about your boss, or speak to your customers? Does it change things beyond Sunday morning for you? Is your allegiance to Jesus Christ stronger than the moment you prayed the prayer and became a Christian? Is it increasing? Is it growing? That's what we want to talk about this morning. Three ways to grow in your allegiance to Jesus Christ. Three ways to grow in your allegiance to Jesus Christ. Before we go any farther, let's ask God to help us hear from him this morning. Father, I thank you again for the privilege it is to open up your word, to look at what you have written and to us and for us. Lord, help us to hear from you this morning. Help us not to just be entertained or be amused, but help us to hear from you. Help us to see where we need to grow in our allegiance to Jesus. Help us to understand the steps, a practical step that we can do in response to what we hear this morning. Lord, I thank you again for technology and the privilege to live in this time and allow us to meet in this way and still proclaim, hear, and learn about you and your word. Lord, I ask that it would be a tool, it would be useful, it would not be a hindrance or a distraction this morning. Use me, make me useful for your purposes this morning. Help me to communicate well the things that you want, not the things that I want. We ask that this morning we would hear from you, and most of all that we would respond to you and grow in our allegiance. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. So three ways to grow in your allegiance to Jesus Christ. The first one is to be committed to his church. Be committed to his church. Why? Why should I do that? Or where do you get that from, Pastor Brian? Well, look at verse 16 of chapter 3. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So he says the church is God's temple. The church is God's temple. Pastor Brian, I thought you said last week, and you've said before, that we are the temple of God. He dwells in us. The Holy Spirit indwells us. He is and he does. This and other passages clearly teach this. Later in the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. But in this passage, Paul is also talking about and reminding us of what Jesus said in Matthew 18. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. There is something unique about when a church gathers. It's special. It's significant. Pastor Brian, why do you have that picture that is not our church? Well, here's why. Because I don't have one from this church that doesn't have pews, and I really didn't want to put pews in there. So it's a very old picture. It's the only one I could find from the back looking forward during a service. So I used one from another church. So if you want to get one of those when we get back together, then I'll have it on file and I can use it. But something important happens when the church gathers together physically. This is why having a virtual church, while important at this moment in history for health and safety reasons, is only and should only be temporary. Unless there are extenuating circumstances or issues, this should not be how anyone who belongs to Jesus Christ regularly attends church. You should not choose this method. That's not how God designed it. We are committed to his church because it's God's temple and because it is where worship takes place. Pastor Brian, I thought everything we do is supposed to be an act of worship. It is. Paul says in Ephesians, not with eye service as men pleasers, but bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart with good will, doing service as to the Lord, not as to men. Later in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. But just as in the case of being God's temple, there's something unique and significant, something special and important that happens when we gather together to worship. Consider some of the things we do together and when we gather for worship. Even this morning, virtually, we did it. We worship, we sing, we give, we hear from God's word. Can't we do all that stuff on our own, Pastor Brian? Yes, you can, and you should. But it's the same. It's not the same on our own. It's different. When we're together, is different. That's why we're supposed to gather. We're commanded not to forsake the assembly, but we recognize that there's something different about worshiping God alone and worshiping God with his body, with the church. There are one of the many reasons we want to gather and we desire to gather when these restrictions are over and it's safe is because we recognize that this is not the way to worship everybody in their own home. There is something better, something unique, something God wants when we gather together to worship. Committed to his church because it's God's temple, committed to his church because it's where worship takes place, and we should be committed, and we are warned about harming God's church. We are warned about harming God's church. So we should be committed to doing gathering, but also not to harming. Verse 17, if anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. One of the many ways you can harm the church. Just think of how you could harm the church. We're not talking about coming in and damaging the church building. That's not what this is about. One of the many ways you can harm the church is how you have and what attitude you have. Pout and get angry when things don't go your way. Don't get what you want. So you gossip, you get bitter, you get divisive, you cause problems. You don't serve, you don't give. I'm going to hold my money as punishment to the church. But the easiest way and the most common way we damage the church is we don't care about it. We're not committed to it. We just simply say, well, it's something to do on a Sunday, and if I don't have anything better to do, I'll go do that. It's a low priority. It's one option out of many, and sometimes I choose that option and sometimes I don't. Allegiance to Jesus. Allegiance to Jesus Christ grows because we're committed to his church. When we're loyal to Jesus, we're committed to his church. Are you committed to the church of Jesus Christ? Are you committed to the church of Jesus Christ or just to yourself? Well, Pastor Brian, I don't know. How can I evaluate? How can I grow in my allegiance to Jesus? How can I grow in my commitment to the church? The first way to grow is through baptism. Have you publicly stated your commitment and allegiance to Jesus Christ through baptism? Have you been baptized? If not, when are you planning to get baptized? Are you planning to get baptized? The second way is membership. This is a public demonstration not only of allegiance to Jesus, but allegiance to his church. Are you a member of this church? If you're watching online and are distant from Newfield, are you a member of a local church where you are? Are you planning to become a member? When? If you're not, why are you not choosing to become a member? Serving. Are you serving? Where? Where could you be serving? How are you creatively serving right now in the midst of all that's going on? What could you be doing to serve in practical ways, creative ways, even though we can't gather together and do the normal things we do? What is your relationship like with others in your church, at People's Baptist Church? Are there issues, problems, conflicts, disagreements that have happened months, years, decades ago that haven't been dealt with? They haven't been addressed biblically. Is there anywhere you need to help build, rebuild, restore unity between yourself and other members? Allegiance to Jesus Christ means we are committed to his church. Where do you need to grow in your commitment to Jesus, your allegiance to Jesus, and then where do you need to grow in your commitment to Jesus, to his church? What is the next step? What is the step you need to take to grow in your commitment to the church of Jesus Christ? We grow in our allegiance to Jesus by growing and being committed to his church. And we grow in our commitment to Jesus Christ and allegiance to him by being committed to his wisdom. We grow in our allegiance to Jesus by being committed to his wisdom. Look at verse 18 in the first half of verse 19. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. So let's start. Where do we get our wisdom? God's word is to be the source of our wisdom. The wisdom of God, of Jesus, comes through the cross, the gospel, and the word of God. God's wisdom is about how we live in light of the cross, in light of the gospel. The difference his sacrifice makes in our lives. The difference his word makes in our lives. How do we talk about our coworkers? How do we treat them? How do we treat our customers, family members, or anyone? Think about the stress, the frustration, the concerns, impatience, the anger, and the fear that is right now everywhere you go because of all that's going on. How do you respond to those people? Do you follow God's wisdom? God's wisdom says a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Are you giving the soft answer or the harsh word? James chapter 1, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Are you quick to hear? Or are you quick to speak? Are you slow to speak or fast to speak? Are you slow to anger or quick to anger? Whose wisdom are you following? How do I respond to the decisions those in authority, those in leadership of state, local, federal people are making? How do I react to their comments, statements, and decisions? What do I do on social media? What do I like? What do I post, share, comment on, repost? What do I say to others by text or phone or in person? What I say, what I do, does it demonstrate that my source of wisdom is God's word, is God, or is it something else? God's word is our source of wisdom, and we need to trust in God's sovereignty. Trust in God's sovereignty. Look at the second half of 19 and the rest of verse 20. It is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, and they are futile. Paul quotes from two verses here. Job chapter 5, verse 13, and Psalm 94:11. And he connects them together. Well, Pastor Brian, why these texts? What is Paul teaching? Why does he choose these verses? People think they're smarter than God. They think they know more than God. Sometimes we're some of those people, but we see it every day. What do you mean people think they're smarter than God? They know more than God. I'm going to read you a statement that was made this week in the news media. I'm not going to tell you who it was made by because I'm not trying to denigrate that person. I'm trying to give an example of people who think they know more than God. God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that. That's how it works. That was made in one public setting, and then later on, the same individual continued with this line of thought in another setting. Our behavior has stopped the spread of the virus. God did not stop the spread of the virus. What we do, how we act, will dictate how the virus spreads. That's what I mean when I say people think they know more than God. Paul reminds us you can't outsmart God. His plans, his wisdom are always better and will always come out on top. So, Pastor Brian, what does it look like to trust the sovereignty of God? Well, Paul says to those who are watching who aren't believers, it looks like foolishness. And sometimes it feels that way. But here's what it looks like practically. It's not just saying God is in control or I believe God is in control, but living like he is, living by his wisdom in the midst of whatever's going on, the virus, a friend, a family member, you have cancer, other health issues, an unexpected death, job loss, marriage problems, day-to-day challenges and difficulties and situations, children who are walking away from God. It means that I'm going to live by God's wisdom even though it looks like foolishness to others, and sometimes maybe it feels like it to us. Living by God's wisdom means I don't withdraw from his church. I don't withdraw from fellowship with other believers. I don't cut myself off from them. I'm committed to staying with them and connected with them. That's on a regular basis, but it's even more important and more significant when things get hard. I don't separate myself from God and his people. That's what it means to live and trust God's sovereignty. Fear doesn't control me. Fear doesn't control me. God's word, his promises, his wisdom, and his truth, that's what controls my life. I don't try to tell God what to do. I don't get angry and tell him what he should be doing, how he should be doing. I don't get bitter when he doesn't do it. I don't try to get him on the same page as me. I try to get on the page he's on. I try to get on the same page with him. How are you doing at living by God's word, trusting his sovereignty? How can you grow in your commitment to God's wisdom? The most basic and most important is get to know God and his wisdom better. Spend time consistently reading and studying God's word. Make it a priority to be in church virtually for the moment, but as soon as we can get back together, you are one of the first ones in the door because you want to make that commitment. Make it a priority to be involved in small groups, Ironman, ladies' Bible study, a time when you can discuss, you can ask questions, you can talk about God's word and God's wisdom in a different setting, in a two-way conversation. Read books. And if you don't read, listen to books. There's a lot of great books you can just listen to as you drive. But get into books that help you understand God's wisdom, God's sovereignty better. Pick a specific topic that you are struggling with or want to understand better or need to apply God's wisdom to. Parenting, marriage, finances, anger, bitterness, idols, prayer, whatever it is, learn what God's wisdom is on those topics and others. Take advantage of what's out there. There's a lot of stuff out there in general, but right now there's a lot of companies and authors who are saying, here's my stuff for free for a limited amount of time. Take advantage of all what's there. Good, godly teaching that is available free. Listen to, watch it, read it. If you need more help than that, seek help. Come talk to us. We'd love to do biblical counseling, whether it's in person, if we can still do that, or virtually, we want to help you. We want to help you know what God's wisdom is and apply it and live in light of God's sovereignty. Allegiance to Jesus means we are committed to the wisdom of God and the sovereignty of God. We are committed to the wisdom of God and the sovereignty of God. Where do you need to go grow in your allegiance to Jesus? What is your next step to become more committed to God's wisdom and God's sovereignty? We grow in allegiance to Jesus by being committed to his church, committed to his wisdom, and we're committed to boast only about Jesus. We boast only about Jesus. Verses 21 and 22 of 1 Corinthians 3. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Paul says, don't boast in men. The implication is then boast about Jesus. Paul told the Galatians, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. This doesn't mean God doesn't use people in our lives, or that some people are going to have a bigger impact than others, or a greater impact than others. And when they do, we should respond appropriately. Paul gave these instructions, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. You may even have teachers that are your favorite. But that doesn't mean those teachers or preachers are better than anybody else. Some of you may prefer to sit in Brian Morgan's Sunday school class or Steve Child's class. Some of you may prefer Pastor DePew, or you may prefer me. You may prefer Chip Ingram or John MacArthur or John Piper, David Jeremiah, Alistair Begg, Louis Giglio, Kyle Eidelman, Max Licato, Max Chandler, David Platt, or. Here's the problem. Who is Paul? Who is Pastor Brian? Who is Pastor DePew? Who is Steve Childs? Who is Brian Morgan? Who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God gives the increase. Each one of us who serve in a capacity of teaching or preaching is nothing compared to Jesus Christ. Paul already said, these men that you're so wound up about, that you want to elevate and boast about, they're servants of Jesus Christ. They didn't die for you. Christ did. That you weren't baptized in the name of one of these men. You were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You aren't united with them. You are united with Jesus Christ. Learn from godly, gifted teachers, preachers, speakers, and writers. Appreciate them. Enjoy them. Esteem them. But don't elevate them. Don't boast or brag about them. Boast about Jesus. Boast about how he used them. Boast about what he did through them and with them in your life. Boast about Jesus. Allegiance to Jesus means we appreciate teachers, but we boast only about Jesus. We appreciate teachers, but we boast only about Jesus. How are you doing on the boasting about Jesus only versus teachers or preachers? How can you grow in your commitment to boast about Jesus only? Recognize the reality that one's not better than the other. What's better for you, an apple or an orange? Well, they're both pretty good for you. Recognize your preference is just that. You may like the apple better or the orange better, but the orange isn't better, more important than the apple, or vice versa. Your preference is no important than anybody else's preference. The person on your left may prefer the orange. That doesn't make them any better or any more right than you. Do not allow your preferences to cause divisions or problems. Enjoy. Enjoy. Listen to, watch, read the teachers you like. But boast about Jesus. Not about them, but about what Jesus has done and is doing with them and through them in your life and others' lives. Here's a warning. Don't binge only on your favorites. You all have them. Even I have them. Have a balanced diet. Listen to those people who you don't like so much or who talk differently or have a different style, because they are just as important and they can balance out your binging on the ones you like. Allow God to use their differences, their different perspectives, their different thought processes to help you see and learn and grow. Where do you need to grow in your allegiance to Jesus? What is the next step to be more committed so that you only boast about Jesus? Allegiance. Three ways to grow in your allegiance to Jesus. First, we need to give your allegiance to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Have you done this? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? If you do, what difference does it make? Does it change how you speak and treat others, your spouse, your friends, how you parent, what you do at work, how you do it, what you say at work? Is your allegiance stronger than it was? Is your allegiance to Jesus growing? Is it increasing? If you're loyal to Jesus, if you have allegiance to him, that means that you are committed to his church. Where do you need to grow in your commitment to the church of Jesus Christ? Where do you need to grow? Do you need to take the step of publicly saying, I belong to Jesus, and be baptized? Or do you need to take the public step of saying, I want to be committed to Jesus Christ Church. I am a member. I am connected. I am committed. Maybe you need to serve. Where are you serving? How are you being creative in serving right now with the limitations we have? This is probably the most important. Relationships. Are there issues in your present or in your past, 5, 10 years ago, that have caused bitterness, anger, disagreements, division that you need to address? Well, Pastor Brian, I didn't do that. Do you know there's a problem? Go solve it. Biblically address it. Rebuild, restore unity. Help people recognize you are committed to the Church of Jesus Christ because of your commitment to unity. Allegiance to Jesus means we're committed to God's wisdom and God's sovereignty. Who or what do you demonstrate on a daily basis is the source of your wisdom? Is it God? Is it his word? Or is it something or someone else? How do you speak to or treat coworkers, customers, family, bosses, supervisors, or just having a conversation or an interaction in public? How do you respond to this fear and anger and all that that does to a person and how they treat you? How do you respond to them? What do you do on social media? How do you react? What do you post, repost, comment? What kind of comments do you make? Maybe you don't do that. Maybe you make them by phone or email or text. How does that demonstrate you are committed to God's wisdom, the wisdom of God and the sovereignty of God? What's your next step to grow in that commitment? Get to know his wisdom better. Spend time reading his word, studying his word. Make it a priority to be in church as soon as we can be back together. Talk about it, discuss, ask questions. Be in an environment, small group, men's group, ladies' group. Have two-way conversations about God's wisdom and God's sovereignty. Read. Take advantage of the biblical teaching about a topic or topics that you want to understand or you need help with. Be filling your mind, renewing your mind. Allegiance to Jesus means we appreciate teachers, but we don't boast about anybody but Jesus. Your preferences are just that, preferences, not more important than anybody else or not more significant than anybody else. Enjoy. Enjoy those people you like to watch and listen to, teachers, preachers, writers, but don't boast about them. Boast about what God is doing in them and through them. And don't just binge on your favorites. Look for opportunities to listen to and hear from godly men and women who may not be your favorites, but that can teach you something you need to know. How is your allegiance to Jesus? Where is it strong? Where is it weak? Do you even have any allegiance to Jesus? If you do, if you say, I have some allegiance to Jesus, is it growing? And what are you going to do? How are you going to grow in your allegiance to Jesus? One specific thing from this message, what are you going to take away and say, God, I'm going to do this to grow in my allegiance to Jesus? What have you heard from God this morning that you need to respond to? Are you going to live like who you are and grow in your allegiance to Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for those men and women who I have learned from, even the ones that aren't my favorite, but that you have gifted and blessed with wisdom and insight and understanding of how to communicate the truth of your wisdom, the truth of your sovereignty. Lord, help us all to be having a balanced diet of men and women that teach and lecture and write about God's word and God's wisdom and God's sovereignty so that we may grow and be more committed and have greater allegiance to you. Lord, for those who have spoken to this morning about a specific issue or specific area, I ask that they would not ignore your promptings. They would respond, that they would make the commitment, whatever that is, membership, baptism, time in your word, commitment to your church, commitment to your wisdom, commitment to restoring, rebuilding, and making relationships right. Whatever that is, that they would take that step, that you would be pleased with what was, not only with what's said and done, but how we respond individually and as a church, as a body of yours, that we would be growing in our allegiance to Jesus Christ, that we would be growing in our unity, and that would be evident to those around us that there is something different about us, and we would be boasting about you and about what you've done in our church and in our lives. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.